This is CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, we are here, we are live. It's Monday morning. Yes, yes. I have in my company the King of Wakanda, Siya Sangweni.
Oh, yes! You're down with the lingo. Okay.
I have the Supreme Grand Empress of Wakanda, Mabali Moloi.
I mean, you better recognize.
But God damn it. And I have lowly Ben Kopinski.
Yeah, no fancy title for him.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben, he went to Wakanda and realized he didn't have a member of the royal family to kind of call himself, so he decided to come back to South Africa.
Oh,
great story, girl.
I still haven't seen that movie.
I know, me neither.
And every time I admit it, I get looks.
Oh, big time. Yeah. You must know what it's like if you're a white person and you haven't seen that movie. Then every black person you know looks at you like, oh right, you're a racist.
No, okay, I mean, I've been told I need to have my card revoked.
Yeah, it's You deserve to have your black card revoked.
Right. Jesus.
Certain things.
One day is
where
one
do
day.
We even start?
Well, what a weekend.
What a weekend.
You know, we go away for 2 days and everything happens.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing of the weekend was obviously Winnie's funeral, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a monstrous event. It was, and by that I mean scale and just everything. I had no idea it was going to be as big as it was. And I didn't watch the whole thing because, honestly, I couldn't give a shit about politicians' grandstanding. I did see a little bit of Zenani, her daughter's speech.
Mm-hmm.
And who else did I see speaking? I didn't watch. I couldn't have been bothered to watch Cyril or Julius. I really couldn't, because both of them, for various reasons, were grandstanding, and it was obviously a moment where they could, you know, the point with these funerals. And I've always said this about politicians: I find them suspicious, even when there aren't occasions for me to find them suspicious. But the most skepticism you should have in your jar for a politician is at a moment where everybody's a little emotional. Because that's when they hit you. It's like those, it's like the, you know, someone in the family dies and ding dong, the priest's there. They remind you of Jesus. It's really, it's just to me, like the it's the scaliest, scummiest, skankiest, nastiest moment for those people to pitch up. And they always do. And then they're given a platform, you know.
But it would be ridiculous if they didn't.
No, of course, and especially because Winnie was a political animal, right?
I mean, there's an understanding that millions of people would have tuned in to watch that funeral, so that's an opportunity for them too.
Oh, sure.
Mm.
You know, get onto the politics and really, their agendas.
But just, I mean, to have, like, I believe Batabile Dlamini had a speech as well.
Oh.
You know, she should just take over drinking full time. She'd be a minister of drinking.
Yeah. Well, at least one day of the week should be important.
Right. I don't know. I mean, the what I did see as well was that the graveside, the burial, that was a tremendously dignified and very beautiful affair. That was, for me, like, magnificent. They could have cut out all that crap with the speeches at the stadium and I would have been fine with it. Again, except for the family, who have every right to be speaking. And I think, actually, Zenani made some really interesting points about kind of the ANC.
Sure.
She was hard. She was, I mean, she's got to be stepping up to be the new matriarch, right?
Sure.
Is she the elder of the two?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sure, she's feeling that pressure, you know, like the kind of footsteps that your mother leaves behind if she was Winnie Madikizela Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
Those are massive shoes.
Yeah, and I thought, you know what, it's a moment to kind of take stock. And she is one of the last of that generation. You know, there's really her, Mlangeni. Who else is left of the Rivonia trialists? I think it's Andrew Mlangeni and Dennis Goldberg. Those are the only two left of the Rivonia trialists. And there's Desmond Tutu. That's really it. That generation's finished then. You know? Sucks. After they go, it's those people go into history. They become characters from our history rather than people who are alive now in our present. So it's quite an incredible thing when you think about it that way. It's almost like it's a closing of a chapter.
Mm.
And I don't know that anyone else is going to get a funeral as big as Winnie going forward.
Apart from Tutu.
I think maybe he will, yeah. Mm. And maybe he should. Mm. But I don't want to talk about his funeral. I'm hoping
he'll just not
hang around.
Right,
yeah, dude, hang
hope
around.
For the best. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was the kind of the big deal around that. And I get it. But it was... I funnily enough, I felt a lot of things I didn't think I'd feel, which is odd.
In what way?
Well, I just, you know, I was sad. I mean, like, I was sad to see the end of that generation. I was sad that there was this woman who, and there was a lot of conflict in and during her life about the things that she represented. And I'm not going to go into all of that because we've got lots of time to get into it. But it was just, you know, she's a mother. She's a grandmother. And she meant a tremendous amount to people who didn't even know her personally. And for that reason, you got to let people feel. You got to just... And I felt something. I don't know what it was. I just... I'm not the most emotional person in the world. So whenever I feel something, I have to really think about interpreting what it is that
what
I feel.
What is this thing pounding in my chest?
Yeah, and I see like a lot of people who get hysterical and a lot of people who are, you know, for what it's worth, I kind of know Zanani and Zinzi, and they're both very dignified, very... They're just such strong women, those two. And they couldn't be the strong women that they are if they didn't have a mother who was as strong as Winnie was. And a father who was as iconic as their father was. So, I mean, you know, it also for me represents kind of this generational thing. And I don't know. I just felt, I'm glad I saw what I saw. I'm glad I saw them, you know, at the burial and kind of throwing the sand in and, you know, a little bit of this and that ritual and that and this religious ceremony. It just draws a close to a life,
mm-hmm.
a full life. It's just a nice ribbon around the whole thing, you know. And I didn't, and I'm pleased I saw it. Because I was kind of running around and going to gym and getting shopping done and a whole lot of ridiculous stuff. But I'm glad I saw it. What did you think?
Well, we made it a full day affair. My sister, my cousins, and I—we all got together at my sister's place to watch it.
Do with the Oscars red carpet.
Oh my goodness! Don't get me started. Yeah. But it is like a moment in history, so you want to band together just
all
remember
right,
it. All
right, having some champagne.
Yes, that's. I actually know a lot of people who did exactly that. They said they were hosting at their home.
Yeah, if I go anywhere,
come over. There'll be some meat. Yes. There'll be booze. Right. We're going to funeralize.
So if I go any further, you guys will think I'm so weird. But we got to a point where if someone's phone went off, we're like, you are so rude. We are at a funeral. Can you keep quiet? But really, congregated all together. I was a bit late, but believe you me, between everything when Naomi Campbell stepped up, we were rooting for her.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Jesus, talk about someone who wasn't meant to be there.
I'm like, where did Naomi Campbell pop up all of a Saturday? When Julius Malema stood up and then started like almost talking directly to Winnie as if like it's a child who was ratting all the other children off, going, Mama, these people who sold you are now crying more than us. We're like, okay, Julius, okay. That's happening.
I love Julius. Julius was like...
What was that? Because now there's the Julius Malema challenge from that.
Like Julius missed the struggle, right? And he's got something which I like to refer to as struggle envy. Like he wasn't in there. It was too late by the time Julius was born for him to really be part of the struggle. So he's got struggle envy in a big way.
I'm trying to understand the dynamic of their relationship. And to a certain extent, do you think it was, for example, his speech was genuine?
Look, the thing about Winnie is post, you know, her role and her influence in the struggle, in her later years, she had become that person that other politicians looked at as an advisor, right? Mm-hmm. So she's an elder.
Like a wise elder, yeah.
Like a wise elder. And regardless of your political affiliation, a lot of people would still seek her counsel. And Julius was just one of those people who had that relationship with her where, you know, he asked her for advice on certain things and she would give advice.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think she meant a lot to him. But I think, you know, because he obviously was raised by his grandmother largely.
Mm.
And he never had a dad. He's always kind of been looking for role models. And Winnie fulfilled a lot of those role model roles for him in his life, as she might have for many other people. You know, I said this on the show last week, or the week before even. It feels like such a drawn out affair. She meant a lot to the people in her community.
Mm.
And that community was big.
Mm.
It went far beyond her geographical community. So, I understand. I mean, like, I get it. And of course, Julius has every right to speak at the funeral and to say what he... But I just always... These politicians, they tug at your heartstrings and they try to get you to react and they try to get you all emotional. And, you know, his thing is he gets everybody fired up.
Yes, including...
Everybody all fired up. And you're like, just keep it, like, together. And keep it together. Let's focus on... this woman, her life, her family. That's how I like a funeral. Forgive me if I'm, you know, stepping over some people's toes because they like to have a big political thing at their funeral. I don't. I think it's horrible. I mean, the worst thing I could ever imagine is that I die and a whole lot of politicians speak. Then I'd want to kill myself.
Well, of course
again.
It had to be political, and of course it had to be petty.
No, I get it. I mean, sure.
Julius stands up and greets everybody and their mother, excluding Jacob Zuma. Like, it was...
Yeah, it was hilarious. I mean...
just so petty.
Oh, shame. Obama got to do that.
But yeah, we even went as far as watching the Netflix documentary on Winnie afterwards.
And what did you think of that?
Oh, I still haven't watched it. Damn,
you watch anything?
Mubs,
I do. Just get your card is so close to being revoked.
No, I do.
You don't watch the Winnie thing. You haven't watched Black Panther.
Oh gosh, such an embarrassment. No, I'm going to watch it now.
She's still on season one of Breaking Bad.
No.
Do you know what Breaking Bad is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, I fell out of that show. I got bored with it very quickly, so I didn't finish watching it.
All right, so you were saying the documentary?
Yeah. Do you know, for a lot of people who were saying the likes of, and I thought they were just adding to the noise of everything, saying Winnie didn't get the recognition she deserved, and I thought, you're just being emotional. And when as well you did touch on the controversy of her life, I was like, okay, I took it with a pinch of salt. But really after watching that documentary and really understanding everything that the woman had been through, geez.
And I thought that was a very sympathetic documentary. It wasn't a, you know, hard journalism piece. It was quite soft. It was a fluff piece in some ways because...
Do you think so?
Well, yeah, they you know, they had access to her for the documentary, which usually when you have access, the person who you have access to says to you, all right, if you want this to be authorized by me, if you want me to say I'm part of this, you don't put in this shit.
Mm.
You know, and you know, it would be nice if you left out the really dark.
Yeah,
parts
I would
of
have
life.
Loved some more juice or meat.
Well, there's lots
of certain things.
You just have to read. There's plenty.
True.
And there's plenty that was written during the time that these things happened, and there's plenty that's been written post then. And you know, I'm glad that it got you thinking because if you really love someone or if you're really interested in someone's life, let's just say that you're. Because when they die, you always take stock of their lives, right? This is what we do as humans. We go, all right, here's this woman who led this incredible life. Let me find out more about her. Then you want to go and read more and watch more and listen more and pay more attention. Because I think a lot of people who were emotional about Winnie in the last 2 weeks are precisely the kind of people who didn't spare a thought for her over the last 3 years, didn't think about her very much at all. Except when it made them feel something. And then they don't go and look up anything to do with her life. They're not interested in where she comes from, what she did. And you know, to some degree, I'm kind of in there. I knew about her role in the struggle, and I knew about some of the controversies. But I didn't know where she was from. And I told you I went and read a couple of articles because it was something I was interested in. But there's so much material on her.
Sure. To think about it, this was just a mother with... two kids, and she had to be under house arrest and navigate this community as like the one who was dubbed as a communist, and you know,
and the police were on her all the time.
Oh yeah, there was a specific hill where she was, and the police were just always there with telescopes and watching the house where she was under house arrest. The community was told not to talk to her, and I loved as well. I think emotional is the right word to use in terms of the documentary, to understand, because it was about her, to hear her retelling about how she felt in certain instances. You know, while Mandela was in prison and he got the option to live in the house on prison ground, Mandela was like, sure, let's bring Winnie, let's bring the kids. And she was actually the one who said, no, because now if we and the kids come, it gives us this false sense of reality. And that will make us forget what we're fighting for, because we're one big happy family here. She was the one who actually said, no, I'm not going to move in with you. I'm going to carry on fighting. And to think about how, you know, she was part of Mandela's journey, but come 94, they were separated. And to see the man who you worked with and who you loved standing on stage being inaugurated as the president of the country, and you didn't even get a seat on stage.
Yeah.
You know, that I think, oh. And granted, they went through a lot, but she speaks about how much that moment meant to her to not be on stage.
What you also got to say about her that I don't think a lot of people in history could say about many of the women of great, who associated with great men, is that she's still alone too. Eh? I mean, you could say a lot about, you know, the wife of X or the wife of Y, and they might have been powerful, you know, strong, supportive wives and women. But with her, with Winnie, her character's parallel.
Yeah.
Like, she was by no means the subordinate. And I think someone like her would have been known to us even if she hadn't married Nelson Mandela.
You know, there's a beautiful part in the documentary that actually speaks to that, and how she had her own identity up until Mandela was released, and he then stepped into the spotlight, and she felt like she lost her identity, and it led to the trial, the TRC trial, where she, you know, now when you're on trial, you're being questioned.
Yeah, isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that... At the moment that South Africa gained its freedom and that the struggle really ended in terms of the political struggle, Winnie went into she had a major downer. I mean, she was in front of the TRC, she and her husband had separated, she was left out in the cold, lost everything. She lost her power, she lost her authority, she became nothing for a while. And then she had to build up from scratch in a new role, you know, this kind of mother of the nation role that she fostered. Quite something.
What a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, this is the kind of stuff that I like talking about, Winston. And if someone dies, it gives you a moment to think about these things. Anyway, what did you do all weekend besides the funeral? Ben, how's the cat?
Yeah, it's a work in progress, Gareth. It's a work in progress. He's spirited. You know, he's, of course, we knew he's from Four Ways. He knocked a bottle over yesterday. I'm pretty sure he was trying to throw it at me. he's pretty, Meowsers hates him. Meowsers literally wants to just, Meowsers wants to beat him up a lot. It's a work in progress. He's a cool little cat, but he just tried to jump off the balcony yesterday. Like, he's the size of my foot, yet he can jump probably up to my shoulder.
Yeah. I've got such energy.
I think he is part rabbit. You know, he's pure white. I think he is just, we have a cat rabbit. Just bounces around all day.
Has Meowsers gotten to him yet?
Well, every day we have playtime, which is basically just howl time. And Meowsers howls and hisses. And then he wants to play and she's like,
Yeah.
And she gets quite hardcore about it. But yeah, she's old. She looks around the house all the time looking for him. And I think she's paranoid, like he's going to just pop up out of nowhere.
Is he still locked in the room?
Well, he has his room where he's got lots of space. He's got Ahmed, his play toy.
Ahmed.
Well, he's got a soft toy called Ahmed.
Sure. Let's just skim past that. Like it's just another day in the park.
And he's got his little box. He's got plenty of food. He's got like a great little play area. And then when Meowsers goes out to do her business during the day, then he comes out and has the run of the whole place.
Yeah.
And then they have like an awkward hour between the two of them. And then
cat socialization 101.
For his own safety, then I just kind of put him to bed. And then he chills.
All right.
Same.
Yeah, but we did watch that Thor Ragnarok movie finally.
Ah, yes. Good movie,
what
huh?
What an incredible movie. Just so funny, so well put together, so entertaining. And Thor is like the greatest superhero. when all things
He's such a dude. He's a dude.
I just put Spider-Man in that same movie. It'd be like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, you'd be irritated by Spider-Man, right?
It's like being called into HR. It's like having to watch Spider-Man. It's such a nothing event.
Here's a great email I got from Snen Tlanta. Listening to your sleep sex podcast on Friday, that was a story in the news with Mubs. This is so crazy because I have that and never really understood what it was. It's happened to me several times. Usually when I'm sleeping with my girlfriend or current, I'd start dreaming of another woman who I've been fantasizing about, thinking my partner is that hot woman. I'd start caressing and initiating sex. Halfway into the act, I realize it's actually my partner and I'm disappointed. The weird thing is that every time that happens, my girl is left extremely happy because I'm extra hard and somehow better. Here's the weird part. It also happens when I sleep next to a male. I somehow always think I'm sleeping next to a woman and I start touching. It happened in my varsity days where I'd share a bed with a friend after a crazy night out. Today, when I happen to share a bed with a relative, it still happens. It's creepy as hell.
Oh, dear.
Just thought I'd share this because I thought I was weird. You are weird.
Well,
no,
you have...
Gareth, don't call him
you
weird.
Have a I don't know if it's a condition.
if one person's emailing, there's 100 to go through the same thing.
Wow.
How do you like that?
Yeah. C is, of course, horrified by this because, no doubt, he's just obviously not meeting the right men.
Come on, Sia, what do you think? Say something.
Oh, no.
You're thinking about the relative part, yeah.
Oh, it's so weird. Oof, and awkward. Then how do you explain, because I know how guys are, how do you explain it?
But doesn't that prove that it is something that's happening while he's asleep? He's not conscious of it. So he's doing what he's an equal opportunity offender here. He's doing it to the woman he's actually with, who he supposedly has feelings for, even though he's thinking about another woman. He's doing it when there's a guy in the bed. He's doing it when there's a relative in the bed. So he's genuinely suffering from this sleep sickness.
But you're and bro, he's probably going through pillows at the same rate. So, I mean, that's
sure.
Not,
but I mean, it's still tough to explain when it does happen.
Yeah, because your bro doesn't understand that. Like, what, man? Oh, just high five it, pound it, it's fine. You know, see you next Friday for a beer. No, your friend thinks it's weird.
I think this is something that he says happened during his varsity days. So I don't think it's happening all the time.
Well, because he's not in bed with his friends any longer that often. But as he said, the relative thing is also quite...
Yeah, it's difficult. Oh, it's complicated.
What happens when you snuggle with your dog then?
Yeah, there's lots that could go wrong.
Jeez, dude.
This guy should be locked up.
Oh, Snantlantla. Oh, sorry, dude.
Yeah, shame.
Well, I mean, at least he's... You know what? You've come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
But, Snare, we are very happy to hear your story because at least you're honest. You know? Be honest about these things. We can all talk about it together and mock you relentlessly.
Oh, shucks. That is not easy.
Yeah. Oh, man. What else happened this weekend? Mobs, anything fun on your side?
Well, I had to get out of my neighborhood because I was concerned about all the road closures for the funeral. So I actually spent the weekend away at one of my cousins. And, yeah, you know, it was just chilled. Fry, drinks, chats.
Nice.
Children. Just normal stuff.
Children.
Well, after last...
Well, I mean, all my cousins are parents, so there's always children involved.
After last weekend, I had a very healthy weekend this time.
Oh.
And I actually had a friend of mine. She and I were at school, high school together, and she lives in America now, and she was out here with her husband and her two kids. And we had, drinks and tea and stuff on Saturday afternoon. And that was the sum total of my socialization this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
The rest is just indoors.
Yeah. And she's got really cute kids. They're smart. I mean, these are, you know, really impressive children. There are impressive kids out there. We spend a lot of time on this show saying things about children.
Or unkind things.
Because none of us have kids. And then when I meet nice kids, I'm always... Yeah, you know what?
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and these are really nice kids.
How old were they?
8 and 6.
Wow, the that says a lot for you to say a 6-year-old.
Yeah, the little boy is called Connor. He's 8, and the little girl, jeez, what a character, huh? Her name's Danny. She's just, full of beans. She was walking around, and, she's a real little actress, and...
Oh, yeah, she's even being kind to actors
and
actresses
sweet. No,
now?
She was very
jeez.
Sweet.
This is very, a lot for you, guys.
Very cute kids. So anyway, but I mean, I like their mom and dad, so why wouldn't I like them?
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you like their parents or if they're related to you, it's kind of automatic.
Mm.
But mm-hmm. if it's somebody else's child, you're like, well, I don't really have to care about you,
yes,
do I?
See, and I, that, it's not automatic.
Yeah, right. That's a stretch.
I did see my nephews over the weekend. In contrast here, I loved them for a little bit, and then one of them started having a temper tantrum, and I just left.
Yeah.
I just walked out of the house and left.
There we go.
Which was just perfect, because then I didn't have to hate them.
Oh, boy.
As soon as my new niece or nephew is born, I'm disregarding these two that are here.
Right.
Just like, out with the old, in
with
the
new. Right. Okay, let's get into some news. Speaking of the news, here are the five things you need to know today. Take it away, Mubs.
Well, the hero of the moment is a Metro police officer who caught an infant that was flung from the roof of a shack by his father and is now being commended for his actions.
The father threw the child off the roof of a shack?
Yeah, the man was trying to stop the demolition.
What a monster!
Mm-hmm. He was trying to stop the demolition of his house in Joslova in PE. And he is now being charged with attempted murder and will be appearing in court today. Constable Luyolo Nojulumba is now being hailed as the hero. The Metro Police had been deployed to prevent a land invasion in the area. And I suppose what's even worse is how this man was spurred on by the crowd. You know how odd people are. They'll see somebody standing like on the roof or on a bridge somewhere threatening to jump, and they go jump.
Yeah,
it's just
sickness.
Yeah,
there's a sickness there. You cannot be okay mentally. You must have some serious hurt and pain in your back.
It's desperate, that's all.
In your background. Yeah, it's desperate. But it's just, I mean, who would say to someone, yes, throw your child off the roof?
Yeah, so spurred on by the crowd, the man tossed his daughter to the ground, but luckily this police officer was there to catch her. And at the same time, you know, there was commotion because people were throwing stones, so not only did he have to catch this baby.
Oh my God, there were stones?
But, well, I mean, it was a land invasion. So after catching the child, he then had to safely make away with her as
good
well in the middle of all that chaos. So,
They should just... take in the bulldozers, bulldoze that whole neighborhood with all those people who are throwing stones in it. And want children to be thrown from roofs. What kind of fucking monstrous behavior is this? The father threw his child from the roof of a shack. I mean, that guy, there's no rehabilitating something that's gone that far.
Mm.
There's no way that's a concerned, stable citizen. Jesus. And then the crowd are throwing stones at the police. Wow.
It was crazy.
Time to, I mean, where's that meteor of yours, Mubs?
Yeah, at this rate, Gareth, I don't know if it's ever coming.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the child is in a safe place, but social workers are now going to have to assess whether or not it's safe for her to go and live with her mother.
I would say no. Well. But that's just me.
Now, there's a haunting picture of this taking place. And it happened, and you just see the man on top of the roof, and you see the police officer with him as well. And just in the middle of the sky, you see a silhouette of this tiny body mid-air. It stuns you. Just looking at that picture creeped me the heck out.
Yeah.
Straight to jail. The whole lot of those people, straight to jail. The ones who are chanting that he should throw the child. Oy, oy, oy. I mean, you have to have some depravity in you. Throw a child. Sure, throw the child. Yeah, for the entertainment of the crowd. Bread and circuses.
Now, the EFF are denying reports over the weekend about how they were apparently in talks with the ANC because of a possible coalition. The Sunday Times reporting that negotiations started after Winnie Madikizela Mandela's funeral on Saturday. But the Deputy Secretary General has now come out and said, no, it's all lies, no such truth to any rumors.
Yeah, I think a lot of people got swept up in the whole Winnie Mandela moment, and then they decided, oh, my fantasy would be for Julius to go back to the ANC. And they projected that out. That's not what's going to happen. Julius goes into the ANC, he becomes third or fourth rung politician. He's got his own platform with the EFF. He's not going anywhere.
Mm.
And the EFF doesn't exist without him, so it's all up to him.
And then the CEO of Starbucks having to come forward and make all types of apologies after another race incident.
What? Oh, what has Starbucks done?
Don't we love those? No, there was a video about how two black men at a Philadelphia coffee shop last week.
Is this the start of a joke or is this an actual thing that happened?
No, two black men walk into a Starbucks in Philadelphia. No, this is a true story. Anyway, there's two sides to the story because these men were there, according to the employees of Starbucks, they walked in there, they asked to use the restroom. They said, no, you can't use the restroom unless you're a patron. Wait, is that the right word? Unless you're a customer, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Patron, customer, yeah.
Yeah, unless you're a customer. And then according to the employees, they say that, you know, they asked the guys to leave, but then they refused to leave. So then they ended up calling the police, and then the police got there, da-da-da-da-da-da. But the other side of the story is that, no, these guys were actually just there waiting for their turn to actually order stuff. And in the video, you can see other patrons in the Starbucks complaining when the police officers got there saying, but these guys did nothing wrong. Why are you arresting them? So then, you know, obviously it grabbed some headlines. And now the CEO is saying, all right, you know, I'm coming forward. I'm apologizing. There's still some investigations happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I don't know why Starbucks gets a bad rap for this. I mean, if it's the staff in that store, maybe it's the staff in that store that are a problem. You know, I don't know why the big corporation has to take the fall for this. It's not like they decided at corporate level, all right, guys, today, any suspicious-looking black dudes, this is what we're going to do to them. Everybody wants to take it out on Starbucks. How about just finding out the names of the people in that store who said that and who called the police and reporting just them for being bad individuals? I don't know. And even that, maybe they were just mistaken. You know, you're busy making coffee for people. We're not talking about somebody who's writing policy. These people make coffee. And get all upset and we all get in each other's faces. Any excuse we can find to get angry with each other, seems we'll take it.
Yeah, look, I imagine it's pretty annoying being arrested for doing nothing.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just imagining it.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah. And then Mariah Carey revealing in an interview
we love Mariah,
not so long ago, that she's actually been battling bipolar disorder since 2001.
Well, that explains a lot.
Saying that that is when she had been diagnosed, but because she kind of didn't want to deal with it, she says that she pretended like everything was okay with her and only recently has been starting to take medication. But yeah, apparently the star has been battling bipolar disorder over the past several years. And then she revealed it in this interview, and now a whole bunch of her fans coming forward and saying, shame, Mariah, we love you. And she's just thanking them for their support. But there you go.
All right, well, it shouldn't just be her fans. We've discussed mental illness many times in this show.
It's I think when you're in the public eye, it's even harder.
For like sure.
So much harder, because your life is full of so many extremes and you can't comprehend the highs and lows.
And Mariah is, she's out there, man. I mean, Mariah's.
Well, I mean, she's had a lot of highs and lows.
She's also got a Christmas room in her house.
Yeah, we all think she's pretty ridiculous. Hey, somebody says, I bought the Cliff Central earphones last week, and I must say that they're brilliant. Really nailed the main design flaw in the Bluetooth headphones, the off switch. Nicely done. All right. I've been using mine as well.
I still use mine to exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Run on ANN 7? I don't know, I haven't seen. But we got to get Run in here again. When is he scheduled for another visit?
As soon as.
Okay, alright. Well, he's on the schedule. Okay, and then a couple of other messages, but we'll get to those later. First of all, much happier weekend for anybody in cryptocurrency.
Wow.
Much better weekend. People are feeling a lot more optimistic all of a sudden. we're nowhere near December's highs, but certainly a bit of an uptick, the best uptick so far. Bitcoin is currently trading at $8,274.07, and Ethereum is at $524.51. So a little bit better than it's been for a long while. And if you want to know the others, I suppose you can look them up, but those are the two big headliners. You know, everything kind of follows the same line. If Bitcoin and Ethereum are going, then you can believe the others are also going up in tandem, but in various degrees. Bitcoin Gold has had an incredible time. That's currently, that's the only one that's worth remarking on separately. $1.74 and climbing. All right, Ben, over to you. Let's just check in with Ben and see what's going on in the sport. You want your intro?
No, Gareth, let's not have our intro music.
No, I think we need it.
Every single time.
Well, I just need to know what you're in for. Take it away.
Slightly disappointing end finale weekend for Team South Africa at the Commonwealth Games. The Blitzbox that were a definite gold medal chance. Well, they lost to Fiji in the semis, and then they lost to England in the bronze medal match. They were looking strong in both encounters, and coach Neil Powell said, well, unfortunately, we just didn't make the most of our attacking opportunities, which is a shame because it's a bloody good team. The captain said that we're not a third and fourth place playoff team. We are so much better than this, and they really are. So I don't know if they were just kind of lacked a bit of cohesion after resting all their players for the Hong Kong Sevens. Who knows? But very disappointing. No medals for the Blitzbox there. Which, you know, you think after the disappointments of the Olympics, where again, you know, there were a gold medal chance and they didn't get anything there.
Mm.
Well, a bronze medal, I think. It doesn't really count. It's just a shame because they were like a real big deal. And then the men's 4x100 meter relay team, they got silver. So unfortunately, England won that one again. England.
How rude.
Yeah. New Zealand, sorry, on the sevens. New Zealand won the sevens. They beat Fiji in the final. But yeah, so the sprint sensations, they got a silver, which is kind of credible. They set a new South African record in the process. And Jamaica, who basically without Usain Bolt, they've gone backwards. So they got to third. But then Johan Blake, who got the baton at the end, he was just so far behind to redo anything. So it can't just all be on him. There has to be more guys coming through, which is unfortunately not happening.
Hmm.
And yeah, so that's the Commonwealth Games done. It was okay. It was fun in places. But ultimately, it is the watered-down version of the Olympics and just reminds you of who the Queen still owns. That's kind of what the Commonwealth Games is.
Well, it is. She's the head of the Commonwealth.
But Australia, to their credit, they put that all aside and they won. They got the most medals. 80 gold, 59 silvers and 59 bronzes. 198 medals in total. England was second. And then India were third. Canada fourth. And New Zealand. Oh, these bastards. They pipped us at the post for fifth. So New Zealand are fifth and South Africa slid down to number sixth in the medals table. But that's the Commonwealth Games. Done and dusted. Also done and dusted is the league title in England. Man City officially are the champions. They had a very good win over Tottenham on Saturday, 3-1 there, and then kind of waited for Manchester United to see what they were going to do. Like, they were always going to win the league, it's just a matter of when it was going to happen. And then West Brom, who were literally in the toilet of the league, they came through to Old Trafford and they beat Man United 1-0. So that's it. Man City have won the Premier League title in the joint fastest time available to them.
Mm-hmm.
So good on them. They may be out of the Champions League. Pep Guardiola may have lost any follicles he may have had left on his head, but they are the league champions, so good on them. Speaking of league races, Sundowns are, well, they're sort of tightening their grip on that trophy, really. They are a game in hand over Pirates, and they are 3 points clear. So they had a good win over the weekend over Wits, and they are now sitting 3 points clear on top, but they do have that game in hand, which is absolutely vital. Pirates, to their credit, they beat AmaZulu 2-1 over the weekend, so it's kind of a two-horse race, that's pretty much it. Maritzburg United, who are in third. I mean, that was a team that was very much lower table for so long. And there they are in third. That is incredible because obviously that gives them continental football if they can stay in that position right there. And then Kaizer Chiefs, they are currently fourth, same points as Maritzburg United. And then we go down to Free State Stars and Cape Town City. That's your top six. In the Grand Prix, now I didn't often talk about Grand Prix, but yesterday was pretty exciting. The Chinese Grand Prix was won by Daniel Ricciardo. So he is the Australian person in the Team Red Bull. And when you think about it, F1 has the ability to be fun because of all the hype that comes with it. So, you know, when I say Daniel Ricciardo, you might not know the sport, but you'll definitely kind of know the name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's I think he's won twice now.
Yep.
So you got him, obviously Vettel's the big challenger to Lewis Hamilton. And then Kimi Raikkonen is just that really sort of pie-faced Finn or Scandinavian person who just says really inappropriate things. And then you got Bottas, who's part of Mercedes, so he's got the second best car there. And
right.
Then you got Jan Verstappen, who basically just likes driving into people. So yesterday's race had all of these factors rolled into it. Hamilton didn't win, which is obviously a factor in itself. Vettel started off great, so it was Ferrari 1-2 that did really well. And then basically Verstappen just basically tried to crash into everybody. He tried to crash into Hamilton. He went off the track. He succeeded in crashing into Vettel. He then got given a time penalty. But while all this chaos was going on, Ricciardo held firm and he won. So Chinese Grand Prix, which is it was a great start that race as well. It goes straight into some winding corners and it's all action. And Bottas also made it onto the podium. See, there's this really great photo which I'm looking at now. Ricciardo's like top of the world, and the second and third guys just look like someone literally broke wind in the general direction. But that's sport, it's all about emotion. In the rugby for the weekend, the Super Rugby, there was no games for the Lions or the Sharks, so local interests were all squared on the Sharks versus Bulls match. And in pretty dodgy conditions, the Bulls won 40 points to 10. Now that is a hammering. Now, look, the Sharks, they showed so much on tour. They took a couple of teams really close. They had a couple of good performances. And then at home, that's a drubbing of note. 40 points to 10. At times, it was kind of competitive, but the Bulls just seemed to have more. You know, Warwick Gallant, dynamite backline player. He really is. And the Sharks, well, they just looked so one-dimensional. Really did. The Waratahs beat the Reds. The Highlanders hammered the Brumbies. The Rebels, they went down to the Hakawadith. The Hakawadith winning away from home. The Sunwolves predicted to be lost to the Blues at home. And the Hurricanes versus the Chiefs. That was the big one for the weekend. 25-13. The Hurricanes winning that one. And they are currently top of the pops, really. They are top of the league. Top of the Premier Super...
No, top super of the rugby. Pops was good. I like that.
Super rugby. And finally, let's talk about Casa Semenya. So, obviously, she was the big standout success for Team SA at the Commonwealth Games. She won gold in the 800 and the 1500. But now the IAAF, there's so much pressure on them when it comes to women testosterone levels and essentially Caster Semenya's dominance. Now, I say Caster Semenya's dominance comes into play because sports scientist Ross Tucker has brought up a really interesting point. There's a Sport 24 article around this. Is that the IAAF is saying, okay, right, look, we've got to get testosterone levels down. We've done our research, and basically the women with high testosterone levels really benefit in the certain races. So, they've targeted the 400 meters, the 400 meter hurdles, the 800 meters, and the 1,500 meter race. Now, the interesting thing about this, according to Ross Tucker, is that the pole vault and the hammer throw, that is when the girls with the big testosterone are leagues ahead of the rest.
And they haven't brought those into those
categories. Haven't brought it up. Mm-hmm. But Caster Semenya's race, the 1,500, there is no evidence that high testosterone leads to greater performances. Yet, they're throwing this in. So now, I mean...
So they're just going for her, basically.
We don't want to sound like victims in South Africa, because sometimes it does happen in our sport. But this looks like she is being targeted by the IAAF. So the 800 meters, fair enough, okay? They've got findings on this, with testosterone levels equal success. The 1.5, nothing. So people are thinking that Caster will move to longer distances because the research doesn't suggest that she'll have an advantage. Therefore, she can run at peace and go ahead and just do what she does. So the 1.5 was a new race that she took on recently, mm-hmm. but now the IAAF are throwing that in too. But what about the woman with hairy armpits throwing the hammer? What about that, IAAF? See, it just doesn't come into the spotlight, so therefore, let's just really make an example of her. Cause then it looks, because if the IAAF can somehow sort of hold Caster back, it looks like they're doing something about this issue. And sure, of course it's an issue, because people will always contest, is a sport going to be fair enough? Whether it's natural testosterone, whether you are putting stuff into your body, people want fairness, and that's the whole thing about sport. The playing fields must be fair. Mm-hmm. Excellence must just then thrive upon that. So I get where they're coming from this, but the fact that they're throwing in the 1.5, despite there being no evidence suggesting that she has an advantage, is strange. It's strange.
Not great.
Yeah. That's all pretty right. Much it. For your sport on this Monday, Gareth, there was some golf over the weekend, but nothing really overly amazing. I mean, John Rahm won in Spain. But that course looked like they were playing in the middle of a favela. It's very interesting. It's some municipal course in Madrid. But yeah, he won that, and he was always going to.
Middle of a favela.
It looked rough.
Horrible.
It looked rough.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
Clapping with bottles and stuff. It's a stray dog at the 18th green.
Let's turn our attention now to the money and the money shot this morning. Anthea is off, so we are talking to Tamsin Nell. We're going to speak about the impact of Trump's latest volatile mood swings on markets. Everybody's talking about a trade war with China. So, Tamsin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. So, first of all, let's talk about Donald Trump, because as we've said so many times, when the U.S. has a sneeze, everybody catches a cold. What's he doing at the moment that's making it difficult for us?
Okay, so last week he obviously, I think it was on Wednesday, that he declared a war against Syria and a Trump war against, a war against Syria. And then he said on Friday he tweeted the not so clear message that the attack on Syria would be very soon or not so soon at all.
Yeah.
So he pretty much sounded like a boy who's had one too many drinks with his mates and he's trying to communicate when he'll be home. Absolutely no clarity on that. But this, as well as some positive trade data from China, provided some.
Oh. And there goes the line.
Uh-oh.
We've got to love Skype. Jesus. We're doing so well. She was saying, and then China comes into it. Did you hear that?
China.
Trump got involved.
China.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this Trump trade war with China. It all has to do with import tariffs on certain goods and all the rest of it. Maybe she can explain it to us when we get her back. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. God, I hate when technology lets me down. Let's try again. Hey, Tamsin? No.
Oh, a young producer trying.
More and more people are getting the Cliff Central unwired earphones and loving them. One happy customer said, great quality earphones for the related price. Pouch makes it easy to carry them around when you're not using them. Yeah, there's this really cute little pouch in there. We haven't spoken about that. This nice little leather pouch. And the pods sit comfortably in ear. Another fan commented, ridiculously well thought through. Perfect device. Quality sound, easy to use. I love. Purchase a pair now and write your own review. You can go and put that on cliffcentral.com as well. Cliff Central unwired earphones connect to any smartphone, laptop, or tablet for listening to podcasts, music, videos, even phone calls. Over 10 hours of battery life, built-in microphone, 3-button controller, and an ergonomic design so it doesn't fall out of your ears when exercising. Plus, fantastic sound quality and build quality. Cliff Central unwired earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. Get them exclusively on takealot.com for just 550 Rand. At Takealot, you can shop online on your phone or on the app anytime, anywhere, with cash on delivery payment options and free delivery on your first order. So go along to takealot.com. I've shopped there before. They're terrific. Shop anything you can imagine at everyday low prices. Takealot.com. You heard it here. Sounds good, right? Go and get yourself a pair as soon as you can. Tamsin, we're going to try it again. Tamsin? Nah, fuck, I give up. I honestly, I'm going to try this again. Let's just move on. Not in the mood to sit and suffer with technical failures. It is 6 minutes to 7. We're going to check in with the news in a moment or two. We'll take your thoughts and your calls. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. Let us know what you're up to. It is Monday morning. It's already the 16th of April, if you're keeping tabs on the calendar.
This is CliffCentral.com.